stars. My name is Hammer, and I'm here to say I'ma do the hammer night and day with an awesome swing and chin and blow. Can drive any nail where I want it to go. Can whack on wall, rack on wood, knock things together, and it makes me feel good. So you better step aside and watch me bound. Watch me hammer all these flatheads down.
Welcome to Hammer Time with your host, Maurice Cerrone. Hammer Time is a program dedicated to helping you have a healthier, more comfortable, livable house, living, and workspace. As the owner of Tucson's largest locally owned discount home improvement center, a handyman's haven, Maurice brings his technical know-how, practical do-it-yourself tips, and knowledgeable expert guests. And now, here's the host of Hammer Time, your home pro, Maurice.
Welcome to the Hammer Time radio show on this great October 27th of 2019. I am Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, the voice with your trusted local news and talk. Getting on with the program today, the invitation is out to all the listeners out there. If you have anything you'd like to comment on or bring up or discuss, or things that have been confusing to you in various aspects, give us a call at the studio at 520-790-2040. We are open for your phone calls. We have open lines during the next hour where you can call in and interface. Hopefully I'll be able to give you the correct answers or direct you in the right area of what's taken place. A Handyman's Haven has two stores, one in Tucson, Arizona, the other one south of us here, down in what's known as the Green Valley area. The Tucson store, the address is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That places us six blocks south of 22nd Street. We're known as the Big Yellow Building. Our hours of operation in Tucson are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. With the holidays coming up, we are going to be closed on Thanksgiving Day through the weekend. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, opening back up again on the following Monday. On the Christmas time period, we will be closing at December 23rd, and opening back up again the first business day in January. This gives our employees who've been working diligently and very hard and utilizing all the creativity that we have in functioning throughout the year, this gives them a nice break to spend with their family and coming back at the beginning of the year ready to go. The Tucson phone number is 520-624-7200. Our Green Valley address is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103. If you're heading southbound on I-19, get off at the Duval Mine exit roads. Immediately enter into the left-hand lanes. That's so you can turn onto the frontage road to head down to the southern area there where the Duval Mine roads are located. Same thing if you come up from the south and you're going north, the Duval Mine Road exits, not unless you understand the roadway in Green Valley, the roadways in Green Valley, which you can weave through the non-interstate roadways and reach the same location. A good focus for many people, they know where the great Mexican food restaurant is, of Manuel's. When you walk out the front door of Manuel, you're heading southbound, and if you keep walking across the street, you'll walk into the area where A Handyman's Haven showroom is located. The hours of operation in Green Valley are from about 8:30 in the morning to about 4 p.m. in the evening, afternoon, and that's from Monday through Friday only. We do have a website. Let me go back a little bit. The phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. Our website is, of course, www.ahandymanshaven.com. And I say shaven in that case because we do not use the apostrophe for A Handyman's. And by looking at it, it's more representative of two words, handyman and then shaven. Dot com. So give us a call. Again, a reminder here at the studio at 520-790-2040. Many of our activities at A. Handy Man's Haven throughout the Southern installation as well as the Tucson installation, we provide typical countertops, especially in laminate. We carry 7 colors in stock. They all have an integrated backsplash associated with it, and we can provide you 10 feet of countertop for $90. That includes all straight cuts. And when it comes to the 90-degree corner, if you have a corner kitchen or that nature, we can provide that with cutting the miters that may be required and take care of that for you. The miters include actually 2 cuts, one on the left piece of material and one on the right piece of material. It requires 8 bolt holes in the bottom portion of the countertops. And we also provide you with 4 bolts. Of course, you may say, well, you got 8 holes. Why do only 4 bolts? Well, when you join them together, you use two holes in order to accomplish bolting, utilizing one bolt to bolt it together. Remember, that's $90 for 10 feet with an integrated backsplash. And, folks, that is far less than any natural stone or quartz countertops that's available in the industry. Considerably less by the square footage from that standpoint. One of the major activities that's occurring at the present time, we're still installing large rollout trays, full width, in any cabinet that's available. It makes it rather challenging from that standpoint, but we do have the glide systems and everything else that is required to provide you with a very adequate and supportive rollout tray, which increases the storage capability of 600 to 700 square inches of storage space, let alone with the deeper trays. We can set you up with lots of volume that you do not receive on the normal rollout trays that are available. They're on full extension glides, and one of the things that we say all the time period is you can eliminate getting on your hands and knees. And if you ever have any knee problems or hip problems, or you are of an extremely high maturation level and getting up and getting down can be rather difficult to you, this eliminates that. And the other thing is that you do not need your cell phone flashlight or any other flashlight to see what's at the bottom of your cabinetry, no matter where they're located. So one of the major activities we got going is a full kitchen of a butcher block countertop. The customer has suggested or has requested a cherry wood. It is edge banded together. There's basically 3 different types of countertops that you could utilize. One is a flat type countertop where you can take a bunch of 2x10s or 2x12s or something like that, glue them together, bolt them together, and that's called a flat-type countertop. The other is edge-located type countertops, and that's taking a 1x6, so to speak, and cutting it into 1.5-inch pieces and then gluing the edges together or binding them together by some fastening criteria. Then a more expensive countertop is actually edge or end type countertop in a butcher block, and that's gluing together these little strips that I just talked about, but then cutting them into 1.5 inches in the other direction and then gluing those pieces together. And you can see you have many more small pieces to contend with, and you have actually a much durable countertop from that standpoint, because edge grain is much difficult to cut away versus a flat grain or edge graining. Anyway, we're doing this countertop for this customer's kitchen. It's requiring 3 8-footers, and the island countertop itself is basically little over 4 feet, 4 feet, 2 inches by 5 feet in the other direction. Underneath that, we're employing 2 24-inch wide cabinetry. And in those cabinetries, we have these large rollout trays that I just mentioned earlier in the show here. And they're going to have tremendous storage right in their kitchen from that standpoint, as well as being able to seat people at one of the ends. Of course, there's two ends. So actually, it's a 48-inch square operation because they're 48-inch cabinetries. And when you take two 24s and put them together, you have 48 inches also. But it has a 12 inches of overhang on one end, whereby they're able to seat two or three people. So tremendous job, looks great. The cherry wood is a more expensive wood, but this is what they desire, and we'll have that done here just shortly for the customer. Another thing that we're being noted for is cabinet door repairs. We can repair many cabinet doors that you have, that where you've snapped over the period of years. We can replace the panels that are within the cabinet door, especially if it's a flat recess type panel. We can also take those doors for you and router out the back side of it and make it a frame door like a picture frame, and we can install many types of glass that's available today. So keep us in mind for that. We can build brand new drawer boxes for you if your drawer boxes are having a problem, or we can also change the glide system out and put undermount glides, put in brand new side mount glides, and we can also develop a soft close system for your drawer boxes, which sort of updates your drawer boxes to a certain extent at a much less cost than the buying a whole brand new line of cabinetry in order to get that. However, we don't get upset if you want to buy a brand new line of cabinetry. We do work with our six companies that we have, and we can provide almost any desirable cabinet that you are interested in. Also, we have one cabinet company that has six different wood species, which makes it a tremendous asset for the customer. We do have a special company that markets doors for us, or prepares the doors, manufacturing, I should say, and they have several more wood species available, as well as we can work with custom companies that will use any wood species that is requested. So keep that in mind from that standpoint. Looks like we're concluding our first break. Our production engineer today is John Couch, a formidable individual in the radio world, and as well as he also has a very interesting technique of developing beautiful pictures on coffee mugs. So give him a call or give us a call here at the studio. We'll have John take it away, and we'll see you after the break, folks. Good afternoon again, folks. And we at A Handyman's Haven have many hammers, and we can surely utilize those to help you construct many activities that you would like to have for the improvements of your home. One of the other things that we're working on quite extensively, we've had many requests for specific doors. I may have talked about some of these in the past, but we're right now in a final production. The doors have arrived on one of our major orders, and we'll get this all spooled up and put the appropriate glass and that sort of thing in the doors. And what makes these doors rather special is the customer has their own type of glass sequence or glass design that they want to employ in one of their main doors that goes in and out of their home to the exterior. The other requirement is that when they sell their home, they want to take this stained glass with them, so we have to make it removable in an easy fashion, as well as make it stable and protected from the outside atmosphere. So these are some of our characteristics of assisting the customers in what they're requesting, as well as the repairs of many types of activities. So these doors are very, very important. The other thing that is occurring, we are able to get you fire-rated doors. And when we talk about fire-rated doors, there's certain places in homes and in businesses that require specially typed doors. And these doors have to be labeled with a steel label, or a metal label, I should say. These doors are come from a certified fabricating facility. They are the only ones that have authorization to install these labels. The label itself tells you where the door was purchased. It has a serial number on it, and then it's picked up by the customer and employed in the rooms that it needs to be in. Most rooms, as an example, in hotels or apartment complexes are all fire-rated doors. They should have the appropriate label on them. And basically speaking, nobody can tamper with these doors. What I mean by tampering is that if you're going to redesign the door, you're going to recover it with a laminate or things of that nature. You have to get specific approval to get it done. And I know that recently when I acquired for this specific approval, they wanted $1,500 a day for an inspector to monitor how we were going to prepare these doors for future utilization. Needless to say, it was beyond what the customer was requesting as far as the dollar value goes. Garages require fire-rated doors that are on self-closing mechanisms, as well as if you've been into many hotels that also on self-closing mechanisms from that standpoint. They need to be labeled in order to function and have the proper insurance capability of your home. In commercial installations, depending upon what's between the building that where many things are occurring and the office complex, a 60-minute minimum fire rating is requested. When you get up in that category, you're looking at almost what we call a hollow core steel type door. And with that in mind, it comes already set up for the hinges. They're cut straight through, so the swing of the door doesn't make any difference, or the hinge that you put on it does not make any difference neither. I would heavily suggest that you always use ball bearing hinges on those doors. And you have to have self-closers also for those doors in order to not only function properly according to the code, but it also will automatically close if for any reason that comes about. Again, if you'd like to call in and enter into the conversation on some of these activities, give us a call here at 520-790-2040. I'd like to talk a little bit now about do-it-yourselfers, as which we talk a lot about periodically. Many of us have superior talents in doing lots of things, but we may not know about various aspects of remodeling and what can take place. There is a little more leniency associated with the do-it-yourselfer and their own personal home, but there are certain things that the do-it-yourselfer should be well aware of. And when that comes about, according to the building department officials in Arizona, at least, there are the five most common plans that homeowners take on without a permit and what they can go wrong with. So these happen to be the five craftsman operations that do require a permit when they are being installed. There are a lot of technicalities associated with these, a lot of things that are very important. And I'm not saying that you're not capable of doing it, but if you have some question marks about this, you surely ought to keep it in mind. The first one is major roofing construction or repair. So let's say you're going to create an Arizona room, or you're going to put a Ramada, so to speak, off the main house, and that's going to become a dirt-lined carport, which is sometimes very simple to do. But there are several restrictions that you ought to consider, and a permit is required in order to accomplish that when it comes to roofing construction and things of that nature, as well as protecting the floor and other avenues of the main home with the one-hour fire-rated requirement. Or sometimes the door can only be, or only has to be 20-minute, where the rest of the wall structure needs to be 1 hour. So roofing is one of them. HVAC systems. HVAC stands for heating, venting, and air conditioning. So any one of those three things, if you're going to install a brand new unit system with required ducting or change it out, it's highly recommended that you hire a contractor an air conditioning HVAC company that has an ROC license and is recommended by, not recommended, so to speak, but is certified by the Arizona Department of Registered Contractors in order to do the HVAC installation. Plumbing. Any major plumbing movement within a home requires a registered contractor. There are certain venting requirements. There are many other things attached to it, which I'm not thoroughly aware of. But you can get yourself in some deep trouble if you start playing around with copper and you do not understand how to sweat joints together, or you're going to put galvanized steel onto a copper pipe. And some of these things will guarantee to have massive water leaks down the line. So keep that in mind. I do know that back in the 70s and 80s, when copper prices were so high around the Arizona location here and many other portions of the country, that copper was imported from Mexico, and there was some inferior manufacturing of the copper tubing, which created pinholes away from all the sweated joints. So keep that in mind with your plumbing. Electrical. Electrical is probably one of the more serious things that if it's not done appropriately and adequately, you could end up burning your house down faster than you can shake a stick at. And one example, I know this did not occur, and thank goodness for that, but in one of the places I patronize quite regularly, one of the sales personnel says, "It sounds like you know a little bit about construction." I says, "Well, I know a little bit about construction." And he says, "Well, I've got this situation that when we've got the dishwasher going and we start up the stove or something like that, we blow a circuit breaker, or the circuit breaker trips." And he says, "I'm thinking about replacing the circuit breaker in the box there so it doesn't trip." I says, "Well, you're inviting yourself to burn your home down." And I says, "I would not do that. The wiring in your home is not certified to handle a higher amperage circuit breaker. And you're setting yourself up for a burned down home, and hopefully nobody's inside when it does burn." So a couple months later, I checked with him. I says, "Well, did you replace the circuit breaker or did you get a new circuit put in?" He says, "Well, I did neither." So the circuit breaker still trips and he still functions with that. So he just has to be careful, I guess, that he doesn't fire up both of these units that are on the same circuit. The fifth area that's extremely important is the construction of swimming pools. Yes, you can hire your own front-end loader and dig your hole, and you can line it however you want, so on and so forth, but it does require a permit in order to employ all the proper things that need to be accomplished. And it's not that things don't happen accidentally, but I do remember a situation that I became aware of, that a new filtering system and a new swimming pool was being constructed, and they were replastering or gunniting the wall structure and everything. A lot of work was being done. And when the electrical line was run over to where the pumping system was, the motor of the pump was on a 120-volt system. And what the electrician did is he wired it to the 240. And guess what, folks? On a nice Sunday, the customer calls me and says, "What's going on with my pool?" I'm not a pool guy. I says, "Well, I don't know, but what happened?" He says, "Well, the pump won't work." And come to find out, there was a 240 line feeding a 110 pump motor. And Sunday is not a good time in order to try to find a pump in order to replace it. So keep it in mind for these things. They are important. They're for your salvation, your reduce the cost involved in all these types of activities. Next thing I like to talk about is how to prepare your home for seasonal changes. And as you know, we've just come through a minor change, so to speak. We haven't had temperatures over 100 degrees so much recently, but it is now starting to cool down, 50s and 60s in the morning, and it gets up into the 80s or so in the afternoon. But there are certain things that you ought to take a look at if you haven't done that. And Your home now is being transitioned from being cooled, which it was cooled rather rapidly, either through evaporative coolers or heat pumps or a standard refrigeration system attached to your home. So it's a good idea always to have a biannual checkup on your air conditioning unit. So reminding you that the filters need to be changed, and they should basically be changed or checked monthly, even during the winter months, even though you don't think that they may need to be. Your air conditioning company that you use is well equipped in order to do that for you if you would rather not do it. Many cases of filters that have to be changed are up on a roof. And as many of us know, climbing a roof with ladders and things of that nature may be hazardous to your health. And you may want to get somebody that's a little more agile and has a lot of flexibility in climbing up there. So anytime that your filters show dirt or dust on them, when you check them regularly, make sure you get them changed, because you can overtax your system if it cannot get the proper airflow through that, and you may not get the proper air conditioning that you may need within your home. We're coming upon the completion of our second break, and Mr. John over here, and production engineer, is anxiously awaiting to share with you some other spotlights. That's coming up on our break, and we'll see you after the break, folks. Well, welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice from A Handy Man's Haven. We're transmitting in the A Handy Man's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, the voice with your trusted local news and talk. We've been talking about preparing for seasonal changes. We just went through the heating and HVAC system. And one of the things that many of us have, or many of the customers have, or listening audience have, chimneys due to fireplaces in their home. And it's very, very important that you keep your chimney clean. And if you have a wood-burning fireplace, that's much more important that you concentrate on that, as you heard about chimney sweeps, to get all that sap or creosote, which normally builds up on the inside of your flue that extends to the outside atmosphere. Those are important to keep them clean, because if they start catching a fire due to the wood burning material that you use, not so much with a gas or electric heat or whatever it may happen to be, that can provide you alternate heat source. Especially the ones that have the glass doors on them, which are heat sensitive doors, and that they will not crack or burn or snap apart. With that, and all the fumes are contained within the firebox and go, and they proceed up the vertical portion of the flue. Some of those things should also have, if not all of them, should have a spark arrestor on the top, because even in the wintertime, if things tend to be on the dry side, any sparks that fly out through the top of the roof can ignite some of the foliage that's on the ground and create some other problems throughout the air. The other thing to consider is that many of us don't, at various time periods, I say that sort of collectively, in that if you have a microwave that sets over the top of a stove, as you know, microwaves have filtering systems in them. They normally have a choice today of either having a recirculating microwave venting system, or you would have a exterior venting system for your microwave. Well, again, if your filter is not doing the proper job, or it's deteriorated over the months of use, that you could have all the greases and things of that nature that's been on the top of your stove go on up the venting system and coat the venting system with some fire kindling, so to speak, or the creosote or greases, etc. We have worked several homes due to the restoration companies we're associated with, that there were one home didn't quite burn down, but the customer was out of their home for over four to five months, as they rehabilitated the home due to a fire as a result of a flash fire on the top of a stove that went up into the venting system that was vented to the rooftop. And the smoke was prevalent throughout the entire house. It required a new paint job, required new carpeting. They were able to preserve the countertop itself. We designed the cabinet structure to go underneath the countertop. They re-drywalled the inside of the house. It was extremely extensive from that standpoint. So do keep that in mind, that not only fireplaces, but the venting of your hood over the top of your stove can also be a nemesis for starting or for developing a fire within the home structure itself. Pool maintenance may be something that you ought to think about. Once the nights have, as you well know, have already started cooling down and all the kiddies are back in school, take a look at your runtime on your pool as well as your chemical use. Hopefully, if you use a chemical pool servicing company, that they will adjust this accordingly in order to reduce your cost factor during the wintertime. Be sure to test your pool water or have it tested by your local maintenance company that takes care of your pool. Wasting chlorination can be a serious problem in that it does increase your cost factor. Remember to keep your pool baskets clean if you're doing it yourself, and especially all these things if it's your do-it-yourself or when it comes to pool maintenance. Even though the monsoons are over, the deciduous trees around your home could very well be dropping leaves, and with some of the wind that we've been having recently, I'd almost guarantee you that the wind will be blowing items into your pool and consequently going through your skimmer basket. And if it does settle to the bottom of the pool, it'll be picked up with your automatic cleaning system and could cause some a blockage from that standpoint. These are things that should be looked at and monitored, even though you're using a pool company from that standpoint. The other thing that is going to be somewhat tricky, if you have an automatic watering system for your plants around the home, just remember that deep watering is not only required in the summertime when it's pretty warm around here, but also in the wintertime. Maybe you don't have to deep water as much, and you can monitor the length of watering, but your watering should always reach 1 to 3 feet below the surface, especially with large plants like trees. They need deep water to build up healthy root systems. And many times when trees are being blown over, the tree itself is not being watered appropriately, and the roots are not going deep enough into the ground in order to stabilize the tree itself. So plants and trees still require deep watering regardless of the time of the year. Keep that in mind when you are watching the watering consumption of your pools, especially if they're on your plants and that. Especially if it's on an automatic cycling system, you may want to monitor the cycling system and see if you're getting the proper water. Be proactive, as we say. Take a look at what goes on, not reactive. Reactive means that you've got to stop everything and you got to repair it and put it back together again. This could be something difficult for everybody from that standpoint. We've been talking a little about remodeling and things of that nature. And when you get involved with remodeling, there are what we call the 5 W's of home remodeling. We've heard of the other 5 or 6 W's, like who, what, where, when, and why. And guess what? These are some of the same 5 W's that we're going to discuss here presently associated with home remodeling. Why? Why do you want a home remodel? Do you really need a home remodel? Take time to figure out what you really need to do. One thing that does occur is that maybe due to the age of the home, the way it was constructed, It was not adapted as what we call for universal design, which are the living bodies within the home require some special attention to maneuver through the home, such as if they're on wheelchairs or on walkers. It may be difficult for them to get down certain hallways of that nature. That may require remodeling. How about your showers? Do you have to step over a curb and then step down into your shower pan or climb over the tub to get into the tub? Do you have a chair in a tub as an example for somebody that may need to sit down? Always remember that if you haven't got some anti-skid material on the bottom of a tub, it can be rather difficult, slippy, slidey in the way you go. And some of you may remember years ago that John Glenn, one of the astronauts, had actually slipped in his shower and had some difficult physical impairments as a result of that. And it was with him throughout the time period that he was alive before he passed on. Another thing, if you're going to think about remodeling your shower and make it associated with the universal design techniques or with the ADA requirements, the American Disabilities Act, you do want to maybe change the coloring on the floor. That becomes very important because a lot of times the high maturation people distinguish a lot of activities that is accomplished by the change in coloring of the floor when they move from one area to the other. You can trip on the smallest little item. I can remember a story, which is a personal story on my behalf. I used to run quite extensively, and I remember that being in the Houston area at the airport, I was running in the basement of the airport itself where the tram system is. And as I was running along one day on a carpeted item in the center of the thing, while the trams were on the left and right of me, I found myself being a Superman flying through the air. And as a result of that, I smashed up against the concrete retaining wall and ended up breaking my wrist. And I went back to take a look at what was taking place, and there was about an eighth of an inch rise in the carpeting. And I guess you say, well, Cerrone, you'll have to learn how to pick up your feet. Not realizing at that time period that I wasn't picking up my feet very high, because that takes a lot of energy when you're running to pick up your feet. But an eighth of an inch caused me to go flying through the air and breaking the wrist on one of my arms. Needless to say, that sort of ended my flying career for a couple days, and till it healed and I was able to get back. Doesn't look very good when one of your pilots are wearing a cast and you want to know what's going on. So why are you remodeling? Take a look at what the cost is going to be. Determine exactly what you need and why you are doing it. The quality of life may be important, or it could be because of the future sale of your home that's coming up, or a resale if it's a brand new home. So keep that in mind, or especially if you bought a fixer-upper that would require some remodeling. How soon do you want to sell it? There are various techniques to employ from that standpoint. The next item is who. And what we mean by who is going to be doing the work? Is it going to be a professional registered contractor doing the work? We just talked about the five major remodels that does require by Arizona law a registered contractor. Or are you yourself going to be doing the work as a DIYer, a do-it-yourself? Folks, we've just come to the end of our third segment. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. We'll finish up with some of these things after the break, and we'll have John take it away. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice from A. Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio. If you'd like to enter into the call for the few minutes we have entered into a phone conversation with us here at the studio, give us a call on 520-790-2040. So we're talking about the five W's associated with remodeling. We've gone through a couple of them at the present time. We have a couple more to go. And one thing you may need to consider is when do you want the job to be completed? Just remember that when you hire a contractor to do the job, you're not going to be the only person on his agenda as far as work goes. He may have several crews. He may be hiring several subcontractors to do the work. And all these things need to be integrated in order to work with a very efficient program. Don't be surprised if the remodel is going to take longer than what it's supposed to be. There are so many factors involved in the remodeling cycle of whatever is occurring. You've got the contractor and his schedule. You've got the subcontractors and their schedules. You've got people that may get sick. You've got people that may leave and go to another job. You may have ordering problems. I don't call them problems. They're just part of life. We have this happen quite frequently at our location. And in one aspect, we are no different than a contractor that you may hire. We plan on certain things occurring at a certain time period. And then all of a sudden, a monstrous wrinkle comes into the operation. And we may be delayed days, weeks, et cetera, et cetera. So keep that in mind. As everything is done, there are so-called safety features employed. And with that being in mind, if you think you can get it done in 2 weeks, you may want to say 4 weeks, and hopefully everything works out from that standpoint. So it's very important. There are certain things that can be accomplished when you're ordering materials of that nature and what you want to accomplish and how they can come in faster or whatever it may happen to be. Nobody knows what the production sequence is going to be from the manufacturers, and then let alone it's got to be shipped to a distributor, and then a distributor has to observe it and then ship it to the final endpoint. So one of the other things we talked about a little bit is, what do I need to know about permits? Well, a DIYer, a do-it-yourselfer, can get his permits for the job that he wants to accomplish. I did discuss some of the areas that you ought to be deeply concerned with when you start employing those. Those being the electrical, the HVAC system, the plumbing, major roof construction, going up to the second story, enclosing in a carport, or putting a carport on, enclosing in a carport, making a garage, putting an Arizona room on what may be considered the back portion of your home. Do you have the proper structure? We were informed the other day that somebody had put on an Arizona room, nice big Arizona room, 40 feet from left to right and about 20, 25 feet in the other direction. They used 2x4 rafters. And needless to say, the rafters are starting to sag and cause some problems. Yes, it works well, but it's surely not conforming to what needs to take place. So that's important. So permits are important. You can go into the Arizona Register of Contractors or go to the city government, the development centers of the city government or a county government, and you can download a piece of paper that will tell you what's is required for permitting. Some common things that are required, if you're going to install a fan, like a ceiling fan or things of that nature, may require a lot of electrical movement. You're turning a carport into a garage, converting a garage into a livable space. When you turn a carport into the garage, do you have the proper fire rating structure associated? If you have a gable roof, as an example, the opening between the gables of the roof structure and the horizontal wall structure require 1 hour fire rating. Putting a patio roof over the top of a patio, which is like putting a ramada, so to speak. Turning a patio into a livable space. Running all gas lines, even lines to a barbecue, require proper permitting. The addition of a fireplace or a fire pit. So those are some of the things, which you can download that information, or you call the development center of the governmental entity that's involved, which will also be providing you the inspections for those types of projects that you're remodeling. Then one important thing, and we do have some people that do this, is when they get ready to remodel various areas of their home, is where will you stay? Where will you eat? One of the big things that occurs with the restoration companies is that, well, I can't be without my sink. Well, you just had this major water leak, which destroyed all the cabinets on the bottom in the area. And by the time we get the cabinets, we tear all this stuff out and get it back in again. You may be a month, could be 2 months, it could be weeks, whatever it happens to be, without the utilization of your kitchen from that standpoint. I do know that when I was remodeling my own personal home, we were raising four children, and we did eat out a lot, as an example. We did stay in the house while we were remodeling. It becomes quite challenging. Fortunately, we had a microwave and had a toaster oven. We did it that way. We washed our dishes in the tub because the sink and everything else in the kitchen was being totally wiped away as we were reconstructing the entire operation. So do think about that. That's the five W's associated with remodeling. To go over them again, not in detail, but why do you want to remodel? Who is going to do the remodeling? When do you want the job to be completed? What do I need as far as permitting goes? And where will we stay during the project? There's nothing more disconcerting as to come home and have the floors all dusty and dirty and no place to hang your clothes, so to speak, with all the dust that's floating around. So keep that in mind. And then it may be, what else do I need to know? So there's another W setting there. Depends on how old your home is, as an example, on whether you may have lead criteria in your home or you may have asbestos. What may be common is that asbestos in the roof or the between the ceiling and the roof joists for insulation purposes. Lead may be on your painted walls. One guide is if your home is before 1978 constructed, you could have all those items sitting there. 1978 is the lead requirement. You can encapsulate the lead. But if you start tearing all these walls down and everything else, and it's going to produce dust of any magnitude, be it asbestos dust or lead dust, you can, if you watch television, you'll see all the attorneys today, national as well as local, advertising that if you have this problem or that problem or this problem, you may have been subjected to the following. I have had a little bit of lead training, and I can tell you it's extremely exhaustive if you have lead or even asbestos. There has to be clean rooms. You have to change your clothes. You have to be on an additional air supply. You have to wear respirators and things of that nature in order to ensure that everything is going to be safe for you and your family. Well, we're coming to the end of the program here. I know we got about a few minutes left. I'll touch on some other items shortly. Invite you to stick around after my program of the Hammer Time Radio Show, which will be over in about 3 or 4 minutes. Along with that, Jeff Prather of the Prather Points coming on. And as most of us know, if you read the newspapers and listen to the radio or watch television, lots of activity is going on in the political scene, be it locally, be it statewide, or be it nationally. Jeff Prather has got some great information that's coming up. So if you haven't listened to him before, give him a try. One of the other things I'd like to talk about, and we'll bring this up next week, is tankless hot water heaters. That is a common thing that is probably going to be employed more frequently, especially in the older homes, as the hot water heater starts deteriorating and needs to be replaced. So one of the things I've noticed in some of the articles or magazines that I come about, a lot of people are using a large washer dryers, and especially you can get washers now that are front-end loaded, as well as dryers have been front-end loaded for a long period of time. And people are even stacking these in certain areas of their home if they have the appropriate height in order to accomplish that. Many of them, the door themselves that opens up, either be it a washer or a dryer, it sets relatively low to the floor and requires a lot of bending over. So what are we doing? You can, when you purchase a new washer or dryer of this magnitude with the front-end loaders, You can get a big drawer system from the manufacturer that fits underneath there, of which you can store various things. As a do-it-yourselfer, you can also build your own racking, you know, with some one-by-fours or two-by-fours. You can build a complete platform that you can put the washer and dryer on and protect it from that standpoint if any leakage occurs, especially on the washer side. And with that being in mind, you can store your clothes baskets underneath there. You could have them separated by colors or by types of material, whereby you can have all the whites together, all the colors together, and certain materials require certain washing techniques as well as spin cycles, which could be very, very important to you. So that's a tremendous project that can be accomplished. It does not necessarily need to be an enclosed box or a platform. You can put everything in there on what we call rollout trays or glide systems, so you do not have to get at the on your hands and knees to take a look. And I do know that many utility rooms are not very wide from that standpoint. You may also want to employ various aspects of countertopping, so you can fold your clothes. Folks, we're coming to the end of our program. It's been good being with you today. I've enjoyed talking with you about these things. We'll come back next week, and we'll revisit some other DIY projects and certain techniques to do certain things. See you next week, folks, and thank you, John.